Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in. Okay, embarrassingly enough, I have been avoiding doing an episode on sibling rivalry. In fact, a lot of listeners have messaged me or emailed me and said, could you please address sibling rivalry on the show? This is something that is driving myself, my partner, my husband, all of us batshit crazy. And I'll be honest, I've been avoiding it. I have been avoiding this topic because I don't really know if my answer to this is going to be well received. So I'll just put it out there. My answer to sibling rivalry is be grateful that it's happening. That's probably not the answer that you wanted, but that's kind of my answer to a lot of things that parents want to quote unquote fix, right? We want to fix it when our kids are, you know, mean or hitting or biting and all of that. And those are things that we can deal with our children on an individual level. But with sibling rivalry, there's absolutely nothing you can do. It's going to happen. It's part of the design. In fact, sometimes when I get asked about sibling rivalry, I remember a friend of mine, her name is Toni, that I grew up with, and she said that her parents had a conversation when she was little. She might have been about 3 or 4, and it was the conversation that a lot of parents have, you know, do we want another? Are we ready for another? And the story that she was told is that her mother looked at her father and said, do you think we're good enough parents to only have one? And that's a really interesting approach. And luckily, they did decide that they wanted to have another one. But it wasn't just because they wanted this brood of children. It's because they felt like it was a benefit to Toni to have a sibling. And that's a very mature way of looking at growing your family. I have another friend who had 3 kids and they were deciding if that, you know, should we have a 4th? And I actually said, you guys are such good parents that it's selfish if you don't have a 4th. Now in both of those families, the one with 2 or the one with 4, I can promise you that whether the parents had a child in hopes of developing each other's personalities stronger, or the other one who they just know they're good parents and they had multiple children, in both of those scenarios, I guarantee the children fought. Okay, whether you have 2 or 3 or 5 or 7, they all are going to fight. Sibling rivalry is just a rite of passage, and it's actually really, really good for our children. Think about in your adult, maybe dating relationships. If you meet someone who says, you know, they were never married or they've never had a long-term relationship, that should be a huge red flag. Now, in your younger life, like maybe in college or something, when they say, I've never had a long-term relationship, totally normal. You get into your like 30s and 40s and someone says, I've never had a long-term relationship and I've never been married. That's a big red flag. There's something going on there. Okay. Often, the interpersonal relationships that we have in our life help us to develop ourselves. We've all come across problems that, you know, we look back and we go, God, if I'd only known, I would have handled that completely differently, right? And this interpersonal relationship skill growth happens early on when you have siblings. So when your kids are toddlers or preschoolers, if they have other siblings at home, they tend to do better in preschool and kindergarten because they have siblings, right? They know that when I bop someone on the head, the response is not going to be good, versus an only child often will be put into preschool or kindergarten. And there's a heap of things that come up because they've never really been in close quarters with other children. So they've never had to develop that self-control. They don't know empathy as well, unless it's modeled really well at home. Now, if you're a parent of an only child, please do not feel like, oh my God, I have to go have a baby. I've got to get pregnant right now. Otherwise my child is like doomed for life. Not quite the same. And that's not really what I'm saying. But if you do have an only child, it is really important that you're socializing them the same way that you would socialize a puppy by taking them to the dog park. Make sure that you're taking your only child out into the world. They're in gymnastics, they're in music classes, they're in swim, they're at the playground where you're kind of stepping back. Let them be around other kids and hope that they have someone to fight with. Okay. This is a very unique way of looking at sibling rivalry. And I know that. And I know that most of you probably sent this question to me going, please help us to stop this. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's not really for stopping. It's something that we need to actually shift the way that we look at it and be grateful when our children have someone to fight with, and someone to fight with who has to love them regardless because they're in the same home, right? They have to be able to get along. So what they're developing is conflict resolution. When there is that trusted person in the home or in their classroom or maybe on their team where they're forced to be with this person again and again and again, they're forced to find a solution to the problem. They're forced to adapt the way that they interact with this other person to go smoothly, right? It's like when you're in college, you know, maybe some of you can think of your first roommate or your first roommates and you go, God, that was so terrible. Like I hated the way this person, you know, didn't clean up and, you know, there was no privacy and I wish I would have set boundaries a little bit more, right? Or maybe you were the person that you realized, God, I was a sucky roommate. I would let the trash overflow and I never cleaned up spaghetti and the beans exploded in the microwave and I didn't care. I figured it was somebody else's job to clean it up, right? We've all learned what we don't like about other people, what other people don't like about us because we've been in those situations. Same thing in sports, right? Some of you probably fought tooth and nail with some of your teammates, but your coach may or may not have intervened. They may have just kind of watched it unfold. And that's a wise coach because they want you to duke it out. And it's the same thing for parents. Now we're a little bit more in it as parents than maybe a classroom teacher or a coach or a youth minister. We're a little bit too involved to take an outside perspective because it's your own kids and you're like, oh my God, they're fighting. They're going to grow up to be murderers if I don't step in and do something. But it's quite the opposite. In fact, when they have that loving, trusted person in their home, in their classroom, on their team, in their scout group or whatever it is, they are forced to learn how to be. They're forced how to learn how not to be. What do people not like? They learn how to communicate. They learn about honesty, integrity. They also learn when they've gone too far, right? If you're intervening all of the time, then what kids are learning is, hey, I'm going to go as far as I need to go. Mom or dad will step in when it's too far, which is not what we want for them. We want them to develop self-control and be able to moderate their behavior accordingly. In my blog today, I gave the example and about, you know, two kids at the playground, and maybe one of them is your child and there's this other child and they're fighting over a toy, okay? And you can see it happening. You can see, you know, the face change. They get a little, you know, they bow up their shoulders, they clench their fists, and then one of them yells out something really, you know, phenomenal and profound, like, knock it off, you poopy head McFace, or something crazy like that. And, you know, maybe you jump in, right? You jump in as a parent and you go, aw, everybody be nice, let's share. Well, if that's you, what you've done is you've robbed the children from the opportunity of learning self-control, developing empathy, and realizing that their words matter and that their words hurt, and that there's probably going to be a consequence when you do that. So, plan B. The kid shouts out, poopy face McGee or whatever. And the other child is like, oh, I'm not down with being called poopy face McGee. I don't really like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bop this kid on the head. So they close their fist, they bop the kid on the head. Now that's your kid. Your kid starts crying. Wah! You know, the other mom comes in. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it got physical. I was on my way. And your kid is screaming. Now who becomes the bad guy? Okay. The bad guy is typically the kid that bopped the other one on the head, but let's not let that be the bad guy. Both of them are equally at fault here. Okay. Your child learned this kid does not like to be called names. In fact, he hates being called Poopy Face McGee so much that he's going to bop you on the head. And then that kid not only feels bad about calling him a name because he got hurt, that was a logical and natural consequence, but he learns that, nobody really likes when you get called that, but because you called that kid a name, now you don't have anyone to play with and the toy is gone. Maybe one of the parents intervened and grabbed the toy. So that kid lost out majorly. He's feeling ashamed. He's feeling empathy. He's like, oh man, I feel bad. I would never want to be called Poopy Face McGee, okay? And then the other kid's feeling bad because he hurt your kid. So now he's realized, oh man, I should have handled that differently because the parents say, hey, that didn't work out so well. Next time, use your words and say, I really want this toy. When you're done with it, can I have it? So that gives us a chance, because we allowed it to escalate, because we allowed the fighting and the discord to actually take place. Now, both of the kids have an opportunity for learning, and us as the parents did not rob them of the opportunity to experience the logical, natural consequence that occurs when you're able to duke it out. And at home, it's the same thing. Have you ever noticed that your kids always start fighting when you're in the shower? Always, like when you're in the shower or when you take the trash out, like the 2 seconds that you're gone. And often we let that frustrate us. We go, oh my God, what happened? I was gone for 1 minute and all hell broke loose, right? And you just wish, like, why do they save the fighting for when I'm not here? But actually, we should be grateful. Thank God they fight when you're not around. And it's okay to hear them fighting and completely ignore it. Finish your shower, finish cooking, take out the trash, let them duke it out, let them figure out how far is too far. Now, don't let your kids get hurt, okay? If there's somebody in your house that you know is going to like punch or bite or draw blood or something, definitely try to intervene before some of that physical goes on and model for them, hey, we're not a family that hits, okay? So you separate and you go, how did this happen? And you let them say their side, right? Give both kids the opportunity, or all three kids in some of your situations, or four or five. Everybody gets a chance to say, here's what happened. And then now from that, you're modeling the ability to listen to the other. Okay, now you're going to have your turn. I want to hear what he has to say. Okay, now your turn is done. Now I want to hear what you have to say. And then they start to learn that everybody has a different perspective. Okay. And occasionally there's going to be that's not what happened. Okay, great. That's not the way that you saw it, but this is the way that he sees it. I heard your perspective. Now it's time to hear your perspective. There's beauty in that. Be grateful for when they're fighting, because that gives you, the parent, the opportunity to model listening, honesty, communication, problem solving, resourcefulness, mediation. You get to model those really adult skills for your young children and hope that as they get older, they don't have an issue with a kid at school. They don't have an issue with a roommate. They don't have problems in their interpersonal relationships, their dating relationships. They don't have problems on the field when they're playing sports, because at home, they've had the opportunity to fight with their siblings. So find joy in that. Okay, good. Everybody's trying to kill each other. This is an opportunity for conflict resolution. I look forward to moments like these. And then it helps you as the parent to stay calmer when they're fighting. And you can listen to things and go, okay, good. This is going to be a really great opportunity today to teach them patience. Oh my God, I'm so glad he just punched him in the face, because now I get to walk up and say, hey, I noticed you were really mad. You were so mad that you couldn't think of anything else to do but to punch your brother in the face. But he's so sad now. He's so sad that he doesn't want to play with you. And in fact, he's so hurt, I don't think he even can play. And I noticed that you felt very strong and powerful when you punched him. But then when you saw that you hurt him, what you felt inside was weakness. You felt like, I've hurt my brother, and you felt sad. I saw it on your face. Now, in that moment, he might be like, no way, I'm glad I punched him. I know you feel that way right now, but you will probably feel bad later when you think about it. In fact, because you chose to hit, it's time you sit. You hit, you sit. That's the connection we want them to make. Because you hit, or you bit, or you hurt somebody, it's time for you to go sit and cool off. Now, don't be surprised if they're like, I don't want to sit, okay? Because they're rage. They're like up in arms, like, I want to get after this. I'm so heated. Hey, maybe you don't feel like sitting, but it is time for you to walk away. Would you like to go cool off in a corner? Would you like to go for a run? Would you like to go outside? Would you like to go punch something? Give your child the tools they need to cope through those emotions. Time out can often be the worst thing, especially for a kid that's enraged. Like, imagine if you were heated at work and someone was like, hey, go to your office and cool off. You would be like, no, I feel like running, because your adrenaline is so high, you feel like doing something active. And kids can't cope with that, okay? Kids can't just go sit somewhere in a corner. Timeout typically is a very inappropriate technique, especially when a child is enraged, unless there is something active they can be doing over there. I had a couple of rage kids. I call them rage because that's really not an appropriate term. Some angry kids that were really struggling in my practice. And one of the best techniques I had for them was I told the parents to paint a block of wood. Paint it, different colors and then, you know, let it dry, put it in a little bin, and have the kid sand off the color. So you give them some sandpaper and they just go over there and they just sand and sand and sand until the color is gone. It's very active. It's very tactile. It's very kinesthetically pleasing for a child, but it's something that they can sit and do and focus on and get that rage out on the wood. There's plenty of other things like punching a pillow, but I found sanding wood to be the most effective. It's also important that after the fight has happened and there was a cool off time or there was a communication time, that there's some follow-up, right? That we do encourage the kids to go back. We don't have to make kids say apologies. I'm never one that's like, you say sorry right now, because that's getting into a power struggle, an unwinnable power struggle with you and your child. And that's damaging the relationship. And that puts it on you as the parent to make amends. But what I will go to my children and say often, they may be willing to play with you if they know that you feel sorry about your choices. They may be more willing to play with you after they know that they are loved or they are accepted or they are wanted back, you know, into the game or whatever it is. Or I might tell a child who maybe was acting up, hey, they're more likely to let you play if you say, I'm sorry, and if you can assure them that you're going to be doing something differently next time. So there's always a follow-up and a mending of the relationship after there's been some discord, but welcome the discord into your lives. Now, there are some things that we can do to mitigate the fighting or to maybe reduce the frequency of it. Sibling like birth order and the time or the, sorry, the years in between the birth of your children, the age difference, that really matters. Kids that are really, really, really close in age, like twins, for example, they fight like cats and dogs. But maybe like 2 to 3 years is good because they're not around each other all the time. There's a little bit of separation. They probably sleep in separate rooms. They may be eating at different times most of their life. They probably are engaged in different activities and different friends. If there's a big, you know, gap between the kids, they're not around each other enough to really fight. So if they are really close in age, be mindful of the fact that pretty much since they existed, they've been together and they do need a little bit of space. They need some activities that are just their own. They need some story time that is just their own. And I helped my sister with this. My niece and nephew are about 15 months apart and they were fighting all the time. And I told my sister, you know, they're bathing together. They're eating together. Everything they do is together. A little bit of time, but you know, in different activities, maybe dad takes, you know, the nephew out and they go play ball for a little while and you have a cooking time with the niece or, you know, switching. Maybe there's a mommy son date and then a daddy daughter date and things like that, kind of some separation, and give them activities that are just theirs that they can show how strong they are. Because a lot of time what siblings will fight about is it's just basic animal planet. They want to prove that they're the fastest, the strongest, the best, the smartest, the funniest, all of that. And what that does, that healthy competition actually creates very well-rounded individuals. So that competition is healthy, but we want to be sure that we're providing opportunities for competitiveness that are not about fighting, right? So allowing them to kind of duke it out, allow them to race, allow them to see, hey, who can decorate the best cupcake? Wow, you guys both did a really great job. You did things differently. Notice their differences, notice their strengths, help them to develop their weaknesses in a way that's not fighting. My twins have obviously been together since the very moment they existed. And I'm very aware that they're different and their differences are very unique and very wonderful. And what I've done is help them to celebrate each other's differences, not blame each other for their differences. For example, when they were growing up, you know, Cash really liked to build big, tall buildings. You know, he likes to do things with Legos. Cannon's a bit of a destroyer. He loved to crash things and tear things and break things. I didn't see either one of those as good or bad. They just are. I just accepted them for the way that they are. And I would tell Cash, hey, I know how much you really love to build. What a great creation you've worked on. You worked very hard on that. You know what your brother likes? Your brother really likes to destroy. Perhaps when you're ready building, when you're done building and you've celebrated it and you've showed it off, then you could go to your brother and say, hey, this is a great time for you to destroy. Maybe you could beat Godzilla or King Kong and destroy my building. But I put it on him to be ready And it taught his brother to wait. He doesn't like when you smash it, right? When he's created it, but he'll come and let you know when he's going to let you show your strength by destroying his creation. And this modeling has transferred into so many other aspects and areas of their life. The awareness of each other's joys, likes and dislikes, strengths and weaknesses, and they communicate and they allow each other to demonstrate those strengths in different ways because it's been modeled for them. So I know it's probably not what you wanted to hear, and I hope this episode was not a total disappointment, but embrace sibling rivalry. Let them duke it out. Don't let blood get drawn, but let them duke it out. Model for them interpersonal skills of communicating, honesty, cooperation. Don't force your kids to share. Don't force them to apologize, but instead look at everything from an adult perspective and model that for them. Model it in your own interpersonal relationships. When you've got a girlfriend that you're having some discord with, invite her over and say, hey, can we hash this out within earshot of the kids? Same thing with your spouse. If you guys have had a disagreement, let them know, hey, why don't we go to the kitchen table and discuss this in front of the kids so that they can hear that we don't always agree. Everything is not always perfect, but occasionally we disagree on something, but we're going to communicate about it. And we're going to be honest, communicative, respectful, and kind. And we're going to find a way to compromise or help each other to both be heard and help both of us. I find a mutually beneficial solution, right? That's really important. So embrace that. If you have an only child, you don't necessarily need to have another child. Perhaps you're not ready and you don't really want that. You love your child so much and your resources are strained and you really just want to focus on this one child. I would really encourage you to find a Mother's Day Out program. Get your child involved in sports or extracurricular activities and definitely get them out and about more often. And don't, try to fight the urge to be with them all the time. Let them struggle a little bit. Let them have some independence on the playground or in a group activity to communicate with others, to have a little bit of discord, to have a little bit of upset. Welcome those opportunities as training sessions for your young child to develop the skills it needs to be successful in its adult life. If you have any other questions for me or if you have some feedback on this episode, I would love to hear from you. I've got a Facebook page now for Crunchy Parents. Anyone that listens to the episodes and maybe wants to discuss some things with me directly or with other listeners, I encourage you to join that page, Crunchy Parents. If you're not a member of Whole Heart already, that's where I post my episodes and my blogs. You can follow me at ChelseaFail_WholeHeart. I look forward to hearing your feedback. I really love interacting with you and hearing what you love, what you don't love. Any feedback that you have is welcome. You can also email me at Chelsea@joinwholeheart.com. If you have not been to the website in a while, wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com, there is a button now for donations to the pod. Also, I have a Patreon page, but I really encourage you to go. If you love what you're hearing, I would love for you to subscribe to the episodes, of course, but then if you could subscribe to the website as well, always sending out newsletters and different parenting tips and tools and strategies for each one of you. And, donations are definitely appreciated. That helps me to move towards other goals of supporting parents and young children. So please go to wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com and make a donation or subscribe to help monthly with some of the goals that we have. Thank you again for listening. Be well.